Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Good Monday morning. Sports Radio 610. I'm Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast today, tomorrow, Wednesday. Pendergast is out all week, but Seth Payne is here. And Seth, I don't know if you had a chance to watch a lot of baseball this weekend, but holy smokes, man, the Astros are crushing it. The Rockets, just a few days away from, or a few days off of shaking up the NBA world and getting Kevin Durant. Like, it is a very, very fun time in the city of Houston right now. Very, very fun time.
Yeah, I did it perfectly. I didn't get to catch much of Saturday's game. I saw Lance.
Seth, you're on the wrong mic.
I thought, dang it.
Oh, you sound wrong microphone. Seth sounds funny. He's talking into a dead mic.
Everything will be fine. Everything will be fine, Sean.
There you go.
Just picking which microphone to speak into. Everything else will go.
Now, you know what's funny is I thought it was my headphones.
Listen. Yeah, no. It's all me. I did it perfectly because on Saturday I really only got to watch the first inning of the Astros game. And, Lance, this is what Lance does. Lance always has these games where he looks awful in the first inning and then he gets it back together. Certainly he won't allow 7 runs and 1/3 of an inning later in the game, and yet he did.
But that's
the only blemish.
I kind of put it on myself.
Otherwise brilliant.
I put it on myself because I was talking Friday about, look, it's been 2 or 3 starts that Lance missed, with the foot sprain. And it felt like it might be back to square one because Lance was starting to round into form. And he's a guy that I think at this stage with him already kind of having to reinvent his reinvention of himself as a pitcher, it's going to take him a little bit to kind of get back on track again.
Yeah, and I don't know. This is – he had that one really, really, as he pointed out, the NL Central is basically owned Lance. He had that May 10th start where he just got crushed, 7 runs in 1/3 of an inning. And then over the next 5 outings, he had a 3.20 ERA before he had the freak weight room injury.
Yeah.
And you see, okay, there he's obviously struggling to command his slider. What is he? And is like, right now, can I put Lance in a category above Colton Gordon or Brandon Walter or any of these other guys? I'm not so sure. I think it's just one of those great mysteries that's going to unfold over the second half of the
season.
Well,
in a results-oriented business, with the way that the Astros have gotten surprisingly really good results from a couple of those guys you mentioned in Brandon Walter, Colton Gordon, Ryan Gusto, who ended up coming in and pitching 3 innings in the McCullers game the other day. Outside of a couple of hiccups and a bump in a road here and there, I think Gordon and Walter both had one of those against the Angels, last week or a week and a half ago. It's been really good. I don't know that you can put Lance McCullers up, as a 3 right now. Somebody that you can hang your hat on and trust to be, he's going to get you into the 6. That'll be fine. A chance to win because Gusto and Gordon and Walter and even George Costanza, a.k.a. Jason Alexander, that one time pitched really well and gave your ball club a really good chance to win.
Yeah. And with this team, because the bullpen is so good and because they're able to get 5 or 6 innings out of just seemingly any pitcher who actually has a pulse. We're halfway through the season. The Astros have been the best team in the month of June in the majors. They came off these 2 series. If you had asked me beforehand, I kind of jokingly last week was saying that my standard for the Cubs series was going to have to be that Kyle Tucker went 0-for and Cam Smith and Paredes combined for 7 home runs. Cam did his part, but obviously I was joking on all of that. If you go against 2 of the best teams in the league in a 6-game series in 6 games and you go 5-1, in one of those losses you can pretty much just pin right on Lance McCullers alone.
Yeah.
That I've run out of reasons to stop getting irrationally exuberant about this baseball team. Like any cliche you want to throw at the book, they just know how to win. They've got the it factor, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
It's gritty and it's ugly. But they flat out figure it out. This last couple of series, And now, what is it? How many is this now that they've gone without losing? Is it 11 series now?
Well,
I've lost count. We're up in the double digits.
It's three straight series that they've won. And in the last 11 series, I think they've split two of them.
Right.
And so
they haven't lost one. They've either won or tied all of the.
They've
last
either
11
won or
series.
Tied. Yeah, I think they're like 9-0-2. Their last 11 series, something like that. It's wild, wild, man. And that's what you talk about going into each one of these, whether it's against the Cubs, Phillies, or even the A's. Like, hey, just win the series. You know, if it's a 3-gamer, 2-1, you expect that over the A's. You didn't expect that, you know, against the Cubs and the Phillies over the course of the last week with all of the pitching injuries, and those are two of the very best that not only just Major League Baseball, but particularly the National League, you know, has to offer. And the Phillies had come in playing some really great baseball. I think they'd won 9 of 11 or 9 of 12, something like that, when they came into Daikin, and they just hit the buzzsaw that is Astro pitching. It was phenomenal. And then yesterday, you know, Fromber, I was at the game yesterday, and watching Fromber and flat out just watching this team on TV versus being there, especially with a guy like Fromber, who at times yesterday, Seth, was just unbelievable. Like, the dominance, to see that in person and to feel that vibe, it was pretty dang incredible. Fromber went 6 innings yesterday. 5 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. I thought he was going to go the distance at one point. Had a little laborious last couple of innings, but it was tremendous.
Were you nervous at all when his gold chain malfunctioned yet again? That gold chain's been giving him so many issues this year.
I couldn't figure out.
It's the point where a bat boy had to go out and get the gold chain off the mound for him.
I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on.
I always worry with Fromber. I just, like, is this going to be the thing that sets him off and spirals him into some kind of funk or something? Young Fromber would have freaked the hell out about all of that. And now it's no big deal.
No
obstacle will stray him from his course.
My wife said, "What's going on? What are they doing? It's, you know, early for that." And I thought, oh boy, like they saw something. They're going to go check his glove. They're going to go check something on his arm. Oh no, he has to get the sticky stuff or something shiny on him. And I thought they, one of the groundskeepers had just left like a tool, you know, out there just wedged between the two rosin bags, you know, for like the sprinkler head or something like that. And it's like, oh, they got to go get that off the field. No problem. Yeah. I didn't know it was his chain. It's like, come on, Fromber, get it together, man. What are we doing?
It was, he had a game a couple of weeks ago where they showed a montage before the game began of all the various different guys that were trying to figure out the hook on Fromber's gold chain. And I think Perez Chica ended up being the one who figured it out. But it was a committee of, like, Lance McCullers was working on it at one point. They had all these different guys just trying to get Fromber's chain ready before he went out there.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things that on a bad baseball team you would be looking at and you would be irate about it. You'd be like, this is the kind of crap these spoiled professional athletes care about, and this is why they suck. And yet, when you do it well, It's the Club Astros dynamic,
yeah.
You know? Club Astros, before the Astros got good again, you're like, oh, these kids, they just don't get it. And then after they start winning, oh, Club Astros is the essence of this Astros squad.
We were talking about Lance McCullers. Do you remember him a few years back? I think it was Lance McCullers. He had, like, this black diamond necklace that had just, like, come unclasped or something.
It was in the playoffs.
Was it in the playoffs? You remember that? Yeah. Like, in all the necklace broke, and they were all over there picking up like these black diamonds on the mound, trying to get as many as they could.
I want to say it was in the Yankees in the ALCS in 2017.
Yeah,
that, like, again, yeah, it was like 22 diamonds were sprinkled about the mound.
I remember that always reminded me, you know, when I see these jewelry malfunctions. When Michael Bourne was playing center field way back in the day with the Astros, and I was covering this team every night, we were in the clubhouse, and Michael Bourne, you know, it's one of those lazy midweek games, and we're just kind of waiting for a player to come out and make themselves available so we can talk to him. And that was back in the day where you can kind of go locker to locker after the game. They didn't just bring him to you. And Bourne just is pacing up and down the Astros clubhouse looking for some piece of jewelry, and we're all kind of wondering what's going on, and he stops the media, you know, huddle that I was in, and he says, guys, can y'all help me look for my earring? And we're like, yeah, sure. And he misplaced a large diamond earring. And so we're looking around. Nobody sees anything. And, you know, a few minutes pass, and then it's kind of time to go back out. And I'm not going to lie to you. I was kind of hoping that I was going to get back up to the press box and, like, I had stepped on said earring and it was stuck to the bottom of my shoe or something. Like,
yeah.
That's got to be like a $5,000 to $10,000 piece stuck to the bottom of my shoe if that was the case. Was not the case.
Yeah, but then you got to enter the dark world of selling unregistered or whatever gem. Right. I don't know how it works with gems. There's some way they can trace it back to you, man.
Yeah.
You got to do the right thing and be like, hey, out of the goodness of my heart,
I would have walked my ass back down.
I found your diamond and I'm giving it to you.
And I would have given it back,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
I'm taking that walk.
It's like when you find a kilo of Coke. Yeah, you find that kilo of Coke, you're like, no, this is more headaches than I, oh, crap.
Exactly.
What am I going to do, move this? Yeah. I'm going to show up with an Uzi strapped to my back in some warehouse somewhere? Yeah.
Find a brick of cocaine on the beach, you know, when you're fishing. It's like, what am I going to do with this? We all like to fantasize about what we think we would do with it, but yeah, it's going
to
be
that
one of those.
That happened to Mark Brunell when he was walking with his daughters on the beach. He had a house at the beach there in Jacksonville, and they're walking along the beach and stumbled, came across like four bales of marijuana.
Stop right so now.
Yeah. And Mark's not one to like do anything nefarious with that. He called the cops, and there they were. Just four big bales of marijuana on the beach.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast today. So check this out. Seth, Fromber, in his last 10 starts, the Astros have won 10 times. He's now 9-4. He's got 8 of those decisions, a 2.72 ERA now. He was, again, like we'd said, really good yesterday. You mentioned the Astros being an MLB best, now 19-7 in the month of June. They're also an MLB best since May 1st, 34-20. This is a 50-win ball club that goes into their off day today with a 6.5 game lead over the Coffee Sippers. Are you ready to say the AL West is all but locked up for the Stros?
Yeah, I am. I've thrown all caution to the wind. I can't deny what I'm seeing in front of me continually. So, you're gonna get nothing but irrational exuberance out of me. I don't damn the torpedoes. I don't care.
Coming up next, speaking of locked up, the Rockets locked up a big part of their future over the weekend. We'll talk about what that means, give you the details on Jabari Smith Jr. and his new deal with the Rockets. That's next. It's Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. Seth Payne here. Good morning, everybody. Hit us up, 713-572-4610. If you'd like to text the show, be a part of it, YouTube, Twitch as well. One of our first commenters on YouTube, Steven, says, well, we'll be listening to Astros talk for the next 4 hours. I know they're playing good, but this guy, I'm thinking I'm this guy, would only talk Astros if the Texans were getting ready for their first Super Bowl. That's not true. We'll talk about the Texans getting ready for their first Super Bowl. Maybe
wait, what did he
later.
Say? We'd only talk what?
He says, this guy would only talk Astros if the Texans were getting ready for their first Super Bowl. I said, okay.
Oh, that guy would. Okay. I was trying to figure out if this guy was you or me or whatever.
I'm that guy. Okay. I'm definitely that guy.
You're that guy?
Yeah. According to Stephen James on the YouTube. We'll get back to Astros. We've got a lot more things to talk about besides the Astros. The Rockets staying very busy and in the news. signing Jabari Smith to a 5-year, $122 million extension this weekend. Were you at all kind of shocked to see that contract, the extension with Jabari Smith? Were you anticipating something like that?
I wasn't. No, this wasn't the move I was anticipating. I think that it's, it was a weird year for Jabari Smith in when he went out with injury, obviously. Amon Thompson and everybody else, just you saw what the team could look like without him. But he's still, there's this young core that you want to keep together while also bringing in Kevin Durant. This is the next domino to fall in all of that, mm-hmm. and that is just confirmation that the Rockets do genuinely feel that good about Jabari Smith.
Yeah, that's clear right now. 5 years, $122 million, and Smith, after averaging 12.7 boards and almost a block shot, while shooting nearly 36% from three this past regular season. We obviously know what kind of playoff series he had against the Warriors. Wish he would have shot more. Scored 7 points, four boards on 50% shooting, nearly 46% from three in the postseason. You know, further to kind of put this contract in perspective, you know, people are going to look at Jabari Smith, 5 years, $122 million. Like, man, wow, it's crazy. Kevin Durant, eligible to sign a two-year, $122 million extension with the Rockets at this point in time. That's for 2 years, never mind the 5 years that Jabari Smith just got. This deal with Jabari and the one that they'd signed Alpi to, that's going to look pretty dang good, you know, down the road.
Yeah. No, and they've still got room to maneuver and go out and get a 3-and-D guy or whatever else they need to, yeah, to do. You know, like the Kevin Durant opens things up. I don't think there's anything, I feel like I see a lot of people, you know, making these warnings or admonitions that, hey, like they still have work to do and it's not like all of a sudden you just win a championship. I don't think the Rockets have any illusions about that. Mm. I think they very much are relying and depending on, obviously, their younger guys continuing to get better and take a step forward. It's not enough to just say, well, Kevin Durant comes in and now you've got a great defense and you can rebound like the Dickens and now we'll open things up. There's still work to be done, and particularly just flat out, like bringing one shooter on your team in Kevin Durant does make things open up and perhaps makes guys better shooters, but they still don't have enough genuine sharpshooters on the team to feel really good about just beating anybody and everybody, no matter who you face in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, that 3-and-D guy, we'll talk a little bit more about some of their options later on, but one of their options, definite bias for me, Quentin Grimes, former Cougs, go Cougs, saw the reports last night that he's looking for like $25 million per. I don't know if the Rockets are going to be in the neighborhood to give Quentin Grimes $25 million per, but we'll see. There's some options out there for the Rockets.
Just old dudes at this point. Give me old guys.
I don't want too many old guys, but I want some veteran.
I want all the old guys. Just nothing but old guys. I want the Miami Heat with every aging should have retired 2 years ago guy that can come in and give you 3 minutes and just nail a bunch of threes.
Yeah. Sign them all for $1 million. Yeah, just like the Miami Heat did outside of the big three. You know, this did answer my what if question that I had with Patrick Creighton the other day on our show, Area 45. I'd said if Jalen Green had played well against the Warriors, and it was really Draymond Green that got me thinking about this, because he did the Pivot podcast last week and he was saying something to the effect like, you know, if Jalen Green plays well, you could say they probably would have beaten us. And I thought, boy, if Jalen Green played well and they did beat the Warriors in that 7-game series, do you think we're sitting here today talking about Kevin Durant being a Houston Rocket? Or do you think the Rockets would have traded Jabari Smith instead of Jalen Green for KD?
It's a great question, because it's not like you don't want to weigh one playoff performance that much over anything else. And I think a lot of the one person asked Raphael Stone about the plus minuses with Jalen Green on the
Jackson
floor.
Gatlin, hey, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It was Jackson Gatlin. Mm-hmm. And, Raphael Stone acted like, those stats are meaningless. There was a lot that met the eyeball test to that as well. And I think that it's kind of a tricky hypothetical, because for Jalen Green to have played well in that series versus the Warriors, he would have had to have been a different basketball player than he was. And you can make excuses up to a certain degree about, well, he's getting blitzed, he's getting double teamed, all those, right? But still, promising young players tend to still produce more than single digit points on nights like that. It limits their production, but it doesn't turn them into it just doesn't completely shut them down. So hypothetically, if Jalen Green played better in that in that series, it would have meant that Jalen Green was a different basketball player than what he was.
Yeah. Well, game two, he was a different basketball player than what he was the rest of those games against the Warriors.
Yeah.
He'd come to play, and you knew that Jalen Green had that in him. And you know what Jabari Smith has in him? He's been a very consistent guy for the Rockets. KPRC's Ari Alexander actually caught up with Jabari Smith last week before the extension was signed and announced this past weekend. Here's Ari with Jabari talking about why he's already been back to the grind so soon.
Just the mindset, you know what I'm saying? I was very hungry. We didn't finish the season how we wanted to, so I just was ready to get back in the gym and work on what I need to work on, you know what I'm saying? I want to have a big summer and come back next year looking like a whole different player. So that was the main reason behind that.
What do you like about what Aaron does?
It's just real technical, real attention to detail. Working on a lot of different things that I need to work on. So I just like how detailed it is and how down to the science it is. I like it.
So what can we expect? Because mm-hmm. you say there's things you yeah. want to change. Mm-hmm. What can we expect next year out of you?
Just honestly, just a whole different confidence in my ball handling, confidence in me being able to create my own shot, and also just a up motor, stronger, you know what I'm saying? Just a whole different player, honestly. I just want to change and just come back different.
Last one for you. You got your first taste of playoff basketball. Mm-hmm. What was it like just playing in that tough of a series, and what is that feeling that you guys came up short? Yeah.
It was super fun. It was just a great experience. Obviously, we didn't end how we wanted to. We felt like we were the better team, so I'm not going to use age as the excuse, you know what I'm saying? I feel like we could have done things better to win the series, but you know, we're just ready to get back there. We know how hard it is to get back there. We know how hard it is to win a series, you know what I'm saying? So it's just ready to get back to that moment and we'll be ready for it. So yeah, I'm excited.
So I thought those were kind of interesting comments, Seth, you know, from Jabari. He says he wants to be a whole different player. Like, that's the goal this offseason, and he gave you some specifics: better ball handler, being able to create his own shot, play with a higher motor, more energy. That kind of sounds really good to me, because in an offense last year that seemed very stagnant and, you know, individual with, you know, some ISO, now you infuse Kevin Durant yeah. here, who can score from all over the court. If Jabari can kind of be that guy and develop, you know, a mid-range, work on more of an outside shot and getting to the rack himself as well, that would behoove the Rockets for a much more exciting offense.
No, and I think that's honestly where some of the pressure goes back on Udoka too. It's that Kevin Durant provides all these things in theory that he'll increase spacing, but people want to see more than just, oh, okay, now they can just keep playing ISO ball, but they'll have more spacing to do it. Are you going to just see more structure and cohesion out of the offense? And that's where you've got Durant in the building. What do you do with it above and beyond just adding him to actually make it a better offense in total? Just to play offense the way you guys play defense, to where it feels like there's a frenzy of activity and motion and guys moving off the ball and everything else that you didn't really see that much of last year.
Yeah, and it's the lack of motion that, you know, I felt like drove a lot of people crazy. We'd seen that before, you know, in the Harden era. There wasn't a lot of movement away from the basketball. It was a lot of ISO hero ball. And the Rockets, you know, they didn't have that guy. They didn't have that prolific scorer, you know, this year and in the Udoka era to kind of be able to pull that off and do that. Now you infuse Kevin Durant and you feel like, yeah, you know, the Rockets can do that. But you're so young. You're so athletic. You're so talented in various different spots and positions with Amin and Şengün and Jabari. I think it's very interesting that the Rockets have decided to do what they've done this offseason in trading Jalen Green. And this is them seeing the forest, you know, through the trees, so to speak. And we'll see. Time will only tell if they've ultimately made the right decision or not in investing in Jabari and not in Jalen, mixing in Kevin Durant and this window of a championship opportunity where they've both built and are ready maybe themselves to take that next step. And they got Kevin Durant to kind of help facilitate and promote that from being more realistic over the next 1 to 3 years. Jabari Smith, I don't know that a lot of people kind of saw not just the contract, but you get the contract because this is very much about what they believe he still can do and what his ceiling is.
Yeah. Who are your most dispensable younger players right now? If you had a gun to your head, get rid of the two or three of the younger guys.
Cam Whitmore.
Who are you getting rid of?
Cam Whitmore is the easy number one for me because a lot of teams like him, and there's a lot of reasons why you should like him. One of the reasons around here that we don't understand is why the Rockets don't necessarily like Cam Whitmore. Maybe we understand it from a Rocket perspective more than we do from Cam. PC and I were talking about this the other night on Area 45. You got a 20-year-old kid with all the talent in the world, and now they're adding Kevin Durant to the mix after being a 50-plus win basketball team this year and pushing the Warriors, you know, to the brink and almost exercising those demons that have plagued them forever in the postseason. Why wouldn't Cam just kind of, you know, understand and accept, like, you know what? I'm going to accept whatever role Ime gives me in my developmental process here in the next year to 2 to 3 years, whatever it is, and go see if I can get us a championship and be a part of something great. I think it's just the headspace. I don't know that he's accepted that role. Maybe he will. Only time will tell.
Yeah, that's what you wonder from Cam Whitmore's perspective, and you can understand why a guy gets frustrated with the lack of playing time. I think there's almost that element of, if you can see the forest for the trees, going off and getting more minutes in on a worse basketball team, for instance, isn't necessarily the best thing for you in the long term or the short term. And that if you can just be everything that the team wants you to be and accept it without ego or anything else, that you end up getting that James Harden effect of when he was in Oklahoma City. That, like, man, there's nothing like being one of the best reserves in the league on a good team and the kind of shine that can give you and show that you can be part of that winning effort. He's 20 years old. It's the hardest thing about the NBA now is just how young these guys are, and you got to accept that, all right, no matter how much money guys are making or anything else, some of them still have some maturing to do. And how do you make that decision on a guy? Well, he's still, you know, some guys do, like, pull their proverbial heads out of their asses or whatever it might be. You just, there's not much time to wait on it.
Yeah. One of the texters said they did literally wait one playoff performance against one guy, talking about Jalen Green. It feels that way. It's maybe more of a collective. They gave the guy 4 years, and you have to have a rough timetable on players, obviously the team. And Kevin Durant had been in the mix and probably been at the forefront of their mind as a guy that they would have loved to have paired with Ime Udoka now. And when the opportunity presents itself, you remember this. When they signed Alpi and Jalen to those contract extensions before the season, the number one thing that we'd said, I think, collectively in regards to Jalen is that, boy, that's a very tradable contract. And it's the money that you signed him for at that point in time, and with the cap continuing to go up, probably at an average of a 10% rate over the course of the next, you know, handful of years, probably beyond, maybe more, it's going to look like a really good deal. And it's the amount of money that's necessary to make a deal like Kevin Durant's possible, who's on the books for nearly $55 million this year. So it worked out beautifully. I would say so far, so good for the Rockets. Coming up next, we've got headlines, top stories from over the weekend, and some things to look forward to coming your way. Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. Seth Payne here as well on Payne and Pendergast at Sports Radio 610.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, time for headlines. Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. Seth Payne along as well. We'll start with the Astros. Big weekend for them. Taking care of business over the Phillies and the Cubs. 5-1 homestand. Pretty darn good work. And it was capped off yesterday, Seth, by a fantastic performance by Framber Valdez. It was Jose Altuve that provided the only runs for the Stros, a two-run dinger in the middle portion of the game. Crawford Box special, now just one hit shy, by the way, of tying Jeff Bagwell for the franchise record in hits, second all-time behind Craig Biggio.
I'll give Tyone, the pitcher there, a credit for just staying out there and seeing Altuve yet again after he'd pitched. He ran his pitch count up so high. Paredes basically single-handedly had run Tyone's pitch count up super high into the hundreds in that inning, and then he faces Altuve one more time to give up the most meaningful the scores of the day, obviously.
That was one of the most entertaining things about the game yesterday is watching Isak Paredes at bats. His first at bat against Jameson Taillon, he saw 12 pitches and singled. His next at bat, he saw 9 pitches and popped out. His next at bat, he saw 10 pitches from Taillon and flew out. It was just battling. And I noticed, you know, we credit Paredes from, you know, for having such a good eye. Taillon was in and around the strike zone, you know, all day. He looked really good yesterday. I was very happy for him. He's been through a lot in his MLB career, but Paredes just was a free swinger yesterday. It was just, I was locked in on him. He was a lot of fun to watch.
He was fun to watch. Cam Smith, over those six games against these two really good teams in the Phillies and Cubs, hit 400. You know, came out with home runs in consecutive days versus his former ball club, the Cubs. And, you know, Kyle Tucker had some big hits in this game, in this series as well. Mm. But Cam Smith showing up in these last two series and showing up repeatedly in clutch moments over the last couple weeks. This is as much as I would have realistically hoped for to see out of Cam Smith in the first half of the season.
Yeah.
Just with these two series versus two really good baseball teams as the cherry on top. There's just zero part of me that worries about him shying away in a big moment in the playoffs or anything like that.
Yeah, more on Cam Smith later on in the show. Stroh's off today. They'll begin a 6-game road trip tomorrow in Colorado, then finish off with the Dodgers in L.A., and then they'll finish off the proverbial first half of the season going into the All-Star break at home against the Guardians and Rangers. Gordon, Brown, and Walter, by the way, your starting rotation against the Colorado Rockies the next 3 days. Some other Astro news. This came down before the game yesterday. Yordan Alvarez and Chaz McCormick headed off to West Palm Beach on Sunday to take live swings and at-bats in Florida against the group of pitchers who are rehabbing there. Well, two things. Who are the group of pitchers rehabbing there? Basically everybody that's hurt for the Astros at this point in time, which one is really good news. They're throwing baseballs, and they're going to be throwing baseballs to other major league hitters. That's Luis Garcia, Christian Javier, JP France, Spencer Arrigetti, yada, yada, yada.
It's almost like it's a miniature little spring training they're having down there with actual major leaguers out there.
Funny, because a year ago, Jose Abreu was in West Palm Beach, but he was not hitting baseballs off of other major league pitchers. He was hitting baseballs off of, like, high A players that were destined for Asheville, maybe.
I thought at one point the next step was to send him off to one of the academies in Latin America or something. I'm like, let's see how he does versus 15-year-olds. Maybe we'll get him if we can handle our 15-year-olds, we'll be golden.
Next up on headlines, we just mentioned Rockets and Jabari Smith agreeing to terms on a 5-year, $122 million extension this weekend. Other Rocket news, Houston has emerged as a viable free agent landing spot, according to NBA insider Mark Stein, for Dorian Finney-Smith. Dorian Finney-Smith, 32 years old, one of those 6'7 wingmen, you know, plays the 3, plays the 4. He declined his $15.4 million player option with the Lakers yesterday. There's solid 3-and-D guy in Dorian Finney-Smith, a pretty good three-point shooter for a career 36%. I think, Seth, he was coming off of a career high either this past season or the year before that at around 40-41%. So maybe a possible option for the Rockets.
Yeah, the Dorian Finney-Smith type, that type of move would be the kind that I was kind of hoping for if there was not going to be an Antetokounmpo or a Durant brought in, that at the very least that's what Rafael Stone was probably planning on getting, is guys that are just 3-and-D, can fill in the margins and help space things out for a team that really, really needs shooting. So this is I got my cake and I get to eat it too, presumably, as they make some of these moves on the margins.
Yeah, margins. Rockets doing a little contract gymnastics with Jock Landale. They both sides agreed to push back his salary guarantee date from yesterday to July 7th. So about a week. And at that time, Landale's $8 million salary is going to become guaranteed. Probably means something on the front burner's cooking. We'll have to see if it's a Dorian Finney-Smith type signing or something like that for the Rockets to move some money back and then play around with it later on. We'll see.
It's been such a long weekend because of the two notable Astros series, but I can't even remember when the Fred VanVleet extension was announced. Was that on Friday or was that earlier in the week last week?
Thursday or Friday, I want to say. It's weird. I had a weird schedule last week, but yeah, it was late, mid-late last week.
I can't remember if Sean and I even really discussed it all that much because I know that there were – it's hard to tell. It seems like pretty much is almost – it seems like 90% of Rockets fans are on board with pretty much everything they've done so far this offseason.
Yeah.
Except you can never tell – I can never tell the 10% are so vocal and the people that are like actually mad about Fred VanVleet taking a contract which is a very, very affordable contract. And presumably for some of those people, they're mad because they would have preferred to get James Harden in here. At least that got snuffed out because James Harden re-signed with the Clippers. I can't imagine how Clippers fans feel about it because they've seen exactly what James Harden is in clutch moments in the playoffs now, but they signed up for more of it.
Yeah, you had the Pinder poll that Sean Pendergast put out this weekend. Like, how many Rocket fans wanted James Harden back in a Houston Rocket uniform? I think the results ended up being like 86-14 or something like that. 86% being in favor of keeping Harden's ass out of Houston.
Do you want the Rockets to bring back James Harden? 87% voted no, 12% voted yes.
There you go. Enough said.
I don't know. That's a big... I feel like a lot of people maybe... it's become alarmingly regular how James Harden falls apart at the end of in crucial moments in playoff series. It's really... I feel bad for him, but I don't want to... that's his battle to wage. I don't want to bring that battle back into Houston for some kind of redemption that we don't need to try to be a witness to.
Yeah. One other NBA note over the weekend. No shocker. LeBron James opting into his $52.6 million player option, and doing so because he's very much taking into the Lakers' consideration of the future. So he decided to go ahead and lock up $53 million all to himself. That makes a lot of sense.
But this is where it gets so... I hate reading NBA articles anymore because I feel like Shams Charania just doesn't... Sometimes he needs to lay it out a little bit more clearly because... The quotes from LeBron are, it's not what you would normally expect if you don't follow enough, because it's, he opts into his $52 million deal, and now he'll monitor and watch and see what they do to see if this is actually the place for him or not.
Yeah.
So opting into the $52 million deal does nothing other than we're still in a holding pattern to see whether he forces his way out.
Hey, somehow. Did you see the video that leaked this weekend? I don't know who was recording this, but LeBron James is in the background. It looked like he was at some kind of restaurant and he's telling somebody that, Savannah, his wife, Savannah wants me to retire in the next year or so. That's what could be heard in the background. That I thought that was kind of interesting. That leaked. And then there was some Rich Paul, his agent. There was some Rich Paul audio that leaked as well from him kind of manipulating, which we'll have for you later on. The Suns draft of taking... come on, Maluach, the Rockets pick at number 10 last week. That was kind of interesting. Rich Paul.
Yeah, that was it brought back memories of Tom Brady saying that Giselle wanted him to retire. So the only advice I could give to LeBron is do not let Savannah start taking jiu-jitsu lessons. Okay. Yeah. If you decide to keep playing, just be careful. Be careful.
Yeah, Rich Paul, very busy weekend. Interesting. And then future divorce coming down the pipe for LeBron James. Coming up next, 7 o'clock hour. A key question still looms, unfortunately, after this Astros performance over the weekend. We'll get to that, and we'll also have Acknowledge Me all coming up next at Sports Radio 610.